Hello everyone, this is Yiting.
Hi, I'm Zona.
Today we're going to talk about the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Directed by the Daniels, this film is a hilarious and big-hearted sci-fi action adventure about an exhausted Chinese-American woman, Evelyn, who can't seem to finish her taxes. From the beginning, this film is an explosive and emotional tale about Evelyn and her daughter Joy and the family around them. So why are we talking about it today?
Yeah, great question. So I think when I first watched the movie, I just feel like it's a lot, right? It's very radical, very emotional, overwhelming, chaotic. But at the same time, it feels very profound. There's a lot that's worth digging. It's just a very difficult movie to understand. That's why we wanted to offer our interpretation of how we understand it and have a discussion around it.
Yeah,
maybe to just start with, right? I think this is really, we can call it a genre anarchy. You can find in this movie every genre. It's really just, as its title, Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's a sci-fi with a multiverse. It's at the same time an immigrant story. It's also an action movie, but also like a coming off age movie.
Where to start?
Yeah, so it's so much. Maybe we can start with Joy, the daughter figure.
Yeah, I would say Joy is definitely a very visual impression on me. I think Joy's outfit is obviously very over the top, right? I think her evil alter ego, Jobu Tupaki's outfit, it's a bit of everything. It's a mishmash of different styles and elements from different universes. And that draws a sharp contrast to the void of her inner personality that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
As if they're distracting us from anything inside, from understanding her as a real person.
Yeah, and just that bagel itself, right? It has a void, it's empty inside, although it got this
everything on top of it. Yeah, this coupled really well with the Gen Z identity, right? She's gay, she's born in a immigrant family, she's born in a time where she rightfully embraces her identity, but at the same time, she's also depressed, which unfortunately is another key aspect when we talk about Gen Z. They're born in the time of material excess and overwhelming information from all channel that keeps distracting you from discovering who you really is inside. So I think that crazy dichotomy of having everything available instantly, expressing yourself constantly, but also being deeply lost is something I really resonate with.
The way the movie rapidly shuffles different scenes reminds me of social media, but really TikTok specifically. There is so much information all at once.
Yeah.
We're scrolling to the next one, the next video. The movie is almost a dramatic and cinematic representation of our modern society, captured by short attention span and information overload.
I'm glad you mentioned TikTok. There was this scene that I really liked from the film where Jobu, the evil daughter, was fighting Evelyn, the mother. They were in this long hallway, and Jobu was, she had her crazy outfits, and they basically switch outfits at a snap of a finger.
Yeah.
And they had this really cool choreography where she danced her way around, like killing cops, just casually.
How TikTok.
Yeah, I feel like, you know what? This reminds me of the TikTok fashion trend where influencers, they would switch into 10 outfits in basically 20 seconds. And they're all different scenarios. And I'm, okay, maybe they're not intentionally doing that, but I'm really seeing this pattern how, you know, young people perceive and express information today.
Yeah. Another very interesting, since you mentioned kind of the interaction between Jobu and the Evelyn, I think another theme that we both feel very strongly about is about the generational trauma, the immigrant story that's in this movie. I think as an Asian American, this really hits home in many ways.
Yeah, absolutely. There are so many scenes in this film that resonate with me on a personal level. An example I could think of is, again, in the hallway scene, when Evelyn first realized that Joy is the great evil, Jobu, she said to her, "You are the reason my daughter never call anymore, why she dropped out of college and gets tattoos. You are why she thinks she's gay." when I saw this, I was like, holy shit, that is a lot to say to your own daughter. Mm-hmm. But then the second thought was, you know, I can actually picture my mom think or say something like this, right? It's from this conversation, Evelyn is splitting her daughter into two personas. Yeah. One is the daughter that she loves and wants to protect and supposed to be pure and amazing and does everything right. Maybe she's going to become a doctor in the future or like a successful manager, a lawyer, right? Mm-hmm. But on the other side, she sees this clearly enchanted evil who's telling her daughter to do different things. And I'm like, wow, she doesn't see them as the same person. Mm-hmm. But me being kind of in Jobu's shoes, I know they are the same person. So that's the generational trauma and the conflict, which is really vividly present.
Yeah. I remember viewing the start of the movie where Evelyn was juggling so many things at the same time. There's a tax audit and there's she's having a failing marriage. Her daughter is not the way she wanted her to be exactly. And just, I think it also reminds me of how our parents' generation also went through. They also had a lot that they need to handle all at once. And they themselves are still figuring everything out. They're still struggling with life. And at the same time, that their expectations and their idea of what life should be is kind of passed down to us, younger generation. And there is, in some way, we're having not only our own issues and problems to juggle with, but also our parents' generation's issue that's passed down to us.
Yeah. It's almost like we're carrying their generation's burden. Mm-hmm. And there's always this thing about Asian culture where you're not allowed to express your emotions. You are expected to suck it up. You are expected to still succeed no matter what the situation is. And I think it really rings a bell when Evelyn called out to her father eventually by saying, you think I'm useless, you're so hard on me because you see all your biggest fear in me. But you know what? I've learned to love myself and you gotta stop doing whatever that is manipulative. And then that's when she was able to be a kind and loving mother to her own daughter and accept her identity. So I think this is like closely tied with how sometimes an immigrant or an immigrant child, it's really hard to accept your own identity.
Yeah.
Because your parents don't accept you.
Yeah.
And for parents to accept your kid's identity, you gotta accept yourself first. So I think that's the intergenerational story threads together really beautifully.
Yeah, so I think in some way this movie does hit home to a lot of the immigrants that's watching.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the scene where Jobu was doing all her flashy moves, you know, like that includes turning blood into organic ketchup or like turning the police baton into a giant dildo. And her mom was just sitting at the end of the hallway watching in awe, but also like super scared and concerned. And I was like, oh, I know that look, right? I think at this point it's pretty clear to me that this great evil across different universes, it's not really a typical evil that kills people. It's a new way of perceiving life that is challenging the familiar view of the world by, you know, the previous generation.
Yeah.
And I think this conflict visually shows us how our generation, the millennials and obviously the boomers, how they criticize Gen Z because they truly don't understand. Because they live in a world where there's too much going on all the time, which drives them into a nothing matters, nihilistic view of the world.
It reminds me of how so much about this world, it seems to be broken and overwhelming. We just went through a pandemic. There's the kind of crisis going on in Ukraine. There's housing crisis, things like climate change, right? There's how do you love yourself when you're broken and not perfect? And then how do you love the world despite the fact that the world is also broken and not perfect? I think this comes back to the nihilism point that you just made around, like, if nothing matters, maybe we're all going to figure it out together. And once you do that, maybe you, like Evelyn, became immensely powerful.
Yeah, let's talk about how Evelyn became powerful. Right, she gets to be a superstar. She also gets to be a chef. She's living the best possibilities of her life. But she also turned into a rock. What do you think about that rock scene?
Jasmin was so beautiful in itself. Like, I'm just... Because that's when everything became quiet.
Yeah.
It was a very chaotic and hectic movie. And that's the, like, moment of peace in the movie.
Yeah.
When everything became quiet. Everyone is still. We're just two rocks. And there's no sound. Just, like, text on the screen.
Yeah.
I find it just interestingly beautiful. But I'm... And it's like, even as a rock, you can have your own agency to, like, be closer to your daughter.
Yeah.
You can roll down the mountain or follow your doctor rolling down the mountain. I just think, I don't know, that's just a very beautiful element in this whole movie that added a completely new dimension.
Yeah. And I feel like that's an analogy of how Evelyn was able to challenge all the boundaries of her own cognitive world, right? In a rock world, you're not supposed to move. It was clearly determined.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like,
and then they put the little eyes on the rock.
Yeah, exactly. And where did those eyes come from? Came from Waymond. And Waymond is this pretty interesting character that Evelyn didn't really appreciate Waymond at the beginning of the film. But in the end of the day, you know, he was the hero in Alphaverse. Mm-hmm. He was a very successful businessman in the Hong Kong movie world.
Yeah, the Wong Kar-wai, I think.
I think that's how you fix life, right? Yeah. It's not by being the alpha. It's not by being the most overachieving person. Mm-hmm. But it's sometimes by putting wiggly eyes on things that are not really lively.
Wow, that's so beautifully said. There are many good qualities in him that reminds me of a typical quiet Asian dad.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the movie, Evelyn does realize this person's meaning and value to her life.
Yeah.
And that's another reconciliation that she had. I also want to kind of dive into the idea of taxes, which is kind of this thing, right, that's in the movie. Going back to the idea of nihilism, right? Tax, it's something that Americans spend a lot of time on every year, but it's not intrinsically meaningful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I think tax is such a surprising topic. It's the most mundane, you know, cyclical, trivial thing.
And it doesn't make sense, like a lot of things in life. It doesn't make sense.
It does not make sense. Like, in the closet scene, Evelyn literally said, like, what the heck is... gross necklaces. I think they're saying gross negligence, but you can, wow, like, this captures it so well. This is how being an immigrant living in America, this must be so confusing because this is a uniquely American bureaucratic thing that everyone has to do. But as an Asian American immigrant, you have no context of why you're doing this. That's a miniature of the immigrant life in America and how how funny, how challenging, and sometimes pretty sad, like, these aspects of life.
Yeah. I'm very glad that we're in this era where we see movies like this portraying the Asian American immigrant experience in an authentic way.
Yeah.
And show it to the world.
Yeah.
And being accepted and liked by the world, which is very amazing.
Yeah.
Picturing kind of the tax lady as the monster in another universe is also a very interesting, because she is that type of figure in the world Evelyn is in some way. But in another universe, right, she is a companion.
Yeah.
They were in love. They also just give that person more dimension.
Totally.
It's like every person has so many aspects in them.
Yeah,
in some way, the multiverse is a way.
Yeah.
There are so many aspects and possibility in one person.
Yeah. I see this theme in every character because all of them are doing verse jumping. And I think the choice of focusing on Evelyn is intriguing because I think Waymond said something like, you can do anything because you are so bad at everything. Like, I've gone to thousands of universes and every single Evelyn is better than you. They're all doing something with their life. And then it's like, you're seeing this really messed up lady who's not accomplished anything. And to that point, there is no distraction. You can't be avoidant of facing the question of existentialism. Who am I?
Yeah.
I am not any tag. And in that situation, if you can still choose to love yourself and love the people around you, then the world is healed in a way.
It's like, if I'm so small, why am I here?
Yeah.
What is the purpose?
Yeah. And it's almost, no matter how small you are, you have the right to live a good life, and if you put in the effort in life.
Yeah. And that's what makes a powerful movie. All right. Very glad to have such a thought-provoking movie to discuss today. I think we covered many interesting themes. I'm sure there are millions of other topics to discuss, but we love to keep this podcast short. To our audience, please feel free to comment and let us know what you think. If you like this podcast, we might do more of these in the future. Thank you so much for listening. Again, this is Yiting.
This is Zona. Thanks for your time. Bye.
Bye.